Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, in the Green Scene today, how tiger beetles may weaponize ultrasound against bats. But first, drugged waters and cocaine sharks. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, who's Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland.
That's right.
New title?
New title. A new organisation.
Yeah. An amalgamated organisation. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about sharks.
Yeah.
I mean, do they just go killing the sharks so they could analyse their flesh?
No, these are sharks. They're called sharp-nosed sharks. It's a small shark that's found in Atlantic waters, and they were caught in the nets of fishermen's nets off Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. But scientists decided to analyse the sharks, and they found that the 13 that had been caught, so a relatively small number, but all 13 of them tested positive for
cocaine. So that's 100%?
100%, yeah, of a small number. And it was done by a foundation that's looking at ecological health in these areas, the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation. And there has been some sense before that maybe drugs have been getting into the oceans. But this is probably, even though it's a small study, one of the more scientific ones. So we have found traces in river water, seawater, sewage water before, but this is a very high level. So when you look at things like mussels and oysters, filter feeders that tend to pick things up from the ocean, the level in these sharks is like 100 times higher. So they're not having small amounts in it, in their
now,
bodies.
Do we know what the effect is on these creatures?
We don't, although, you know, for many drugs, you know, there would be similar kind of effects in large animals. So we don't know yet. I mean, all of the females that were studied were pregnant. And obviously we know that in humans, there can be impacts on fetuses if there's cocaine ingested. So we need to know more about what's going on here.
Now, the question is, if this is 100 times higher in level than that found in other marine animals, it's something special about the shark, is it?
Well, it may be, but of course they're the top of the food chain, and that is what happens when you're the top of the food chain.
You're eating everything else.
You're eating everything that everybody else is eating beforehand. But that's something that we need to be concerned about as well, Pat.
Because we are top of the
food. We're also the top of the food chain. And while this study might seem somewhat esoteric to us, I think what it does remind us of is that drugs are going into our wastewater. And it's not just illegal drugs like cocaine. Of course, it's prescription drugs that we all take as well.
Now, they've been speculating on the possible ways in which the cocaine got into the waters and therefore into the creatures. What are they thinking?
Well, there's a number of ways. One, it's been dumped in the sea by people who were about to be caught bringing it through.
Yeah.
I mean, just accidentally it fell into the sea when it's coming on rickety boats, maybe from one place to the next. But the other option is it's just that people are ingesting the drugs and it's getting into sewage water and then into the sea.
I think Colombia when I think of cocaine. I don't think Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil's not a big producer, but it is an exporter. So what happens is the drugs are obviously produced in other parts of South America, and there are big street gangs in places like Rio that are involved actually in a lot of the trade to Europe. So while we're not exactly sure how this water is getting in to the sharks, what we know is it's probably coming from Brazil, and it just gives a sense as well of where the drugs are circulating.
Now, you mentioned the possibility of sewage. Mm. They were testing sewage in various countries at the time of COVID to detect outbreaks.
That's right.
And it seemed like a very crude thing, but it worked.
It did work. And of course, you know, what comes out of your body tells you a lot about what's going on. And when you look at a population level, you can do exactly the same thing. And when it comes to thinking about drugs, I mean, a study back in 2018 looked at the two main rivers in York in the UK. And that study found 29 different drugs, including things like antidepressants, antibiotics, anticonvulsants in the water there.
And were they dumping raw sewage or even treated sewage into?
This is treated sewage. So again, when we look at our treatment capability now, there was a big study done around the Baltic Sea. And when they looked at 118 different drugs that were going into the water, they found only 9 of those were fully removed by the treatment. And many of the others were only removed with sort of 50% efficacy. So, I mean, while at this point, it's not something we understand terribly well, how much of the drugs we're taking are getting back out into
now,
the environment.
Do Brazilians eat the sharp-nosed shark?
They do. It is part of the diet there. But of course, more importantly, it's those other things, those shellfish. This is sort of an indicator at the top of the food chain. It won't be a big source of nutrition. But, you know, again, it's something we need to start thinking about. You know, drugs that we put into our bodies are ending up in the environment.
So the Brazilians are having the ultimate recycling. They take the drug, goes into their sewage, the shark ingests it, and then they eat it again.
Yeah,
oh, dear. Now, there are other things that you mentioned in certain places where other chemicals have been found in the waters. Do we know where a lot of discarded pharmaceuticals go?
I mean, many of them do just get flushed. I mean, we sometimes have even got that, you know, advice with liquid medicines, just get rid of them out of the house. So I mean, they are ending up in our water in a lot of cases. There are groups now saying, when we're looking at developing drugs, we need to be saying to pharmaceutical companies, how much of this is actually going to get metabolized inside the person and how much is coming out? And then what are we going to do about that? Because it's fine, you know, the whole dilution effect, which has been used for years as we've just dumped things into our oceans. But over time, you just can't dilute things out. And while there's no evidence right now that humans are getting adverse health effects from kind of drugs and health products that are being just flushed into the ocean, as there are more and more of us and as we're getting older and as we're using more of these kind of products, it's something we need to keep an eye on, particularly as these things can concentrate in the food chain.
Do you know if there's any system whereby people are encouraged to bring back the drugs in their medicine chest so that they can be destroyed efficiently? And maybe that has to be by combustion.
Yeah, there are some schemes that do that. But again, every now and then a government will do a sort of campaign to get people to bring back drugs to pharmacies. But of course, that doesn't deal with the issue of the drugs that are going into
the sewage. More work to be done, that's for sure.
Definitely more work to be
done.
Now,
the tiger beetles and ultrasound, explain.
So the tiger beetle is an amazing beetle. A beetle, there's many of them. There's about 200 different species. We have them here in Ireland. The most common ones are a lovely bright green. And actually, coming back to the Olympics, they are the fastest animal on Earth relative to their body size. They can go 9 kilometres an hour. But they are predated on by bats. Bats obviously use echolocation to find their prey. So they send out these high frequency waves from their nose and their mouth. And when it bounces back, they know where to go to catch something. But we know of about 7 different insect groups who have evolved to hear that ultrasound. So we can't hear it, but they can hear it. So that means they can run away if they hear a bat coming to get them. And in fact, some moths can even block the sonar by emitting another sound that blocks the sonar.
So this is like World War II, isn't it?
It's the arms race going on in the insect and the bat world. And one moth makes these clicks that can block the radar, the tiger moth. But it seems now that the beetle might be taking a leaf out of the tiger moth's book. So researchers out in Arizona, they were out for 2 years collecting loads of different tiger beetle species. And they found 19 different species that all fly at night. So they're all likely to be predated on by bats. And they brought them back to the lab. And first they played them the bat's call when the bat is coming to get you. And they found they all responded, the nocturnal ones, in a very similar way. So they flew away. They tried to fly away. But also they lifted up sort of their forewings. So they started rubbing against their very fast beating hind wings to make this very high pitched sound. So to us, it might sound like a little buzz, but in fact, when you record it, you can see that it's a sort of high pitched clicking sound. And the bat would hear this. So again, the researchers were wondering what is going on, and maybe the beetle was trying to block out the ultrasound of the bat. But in fact, the call is not strong enough to do that. So they ruled that out. And then they thought, well, maybe it's a warning from the beetle, because the reason why the tiger moth is sort of likes to alert the bat to its presence is that it is poisonous to the bat.
Ah, so it's copying the saying, I'm not a beetle, I'm a tiger moth. Don't come near me or you'll die.
Exactly. And then the research thought, well, maybe the beetles are poisonous because they do produce some of these chemicals like benzaldehydes and hydrogen cyanide. So then they did a less pleasant part of the experiment, was where they fed 94 tiger beetles to a number of brown bats. Now, the bats seem to have no issue eating them.
Okay.
So of the 94, I think 92 were gobbled
up. So we have to believe the mimicking theory.
Exactly. So it's kind of the last part of the puzzle. And it's really incredible because, as you say, an arms race out there in sound that we can't even hear.
I presume the bats have other things to feed upon.
They don't depend on the beetle.
Very
they
good.
Do like beetles.
Fascinating stuff. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Thank you very much.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.